change my thinking, and maybe change the way I do life. So I'm trying like three different titles for the series, but right now I'm just calling it Changing My Mind. Yeah, I might change it anyway. So here we go, Changing Our Mind. And I want to start with a story, just kind of set the stage. It's not about me. It's about some dear friends that Jack and I had, and they were just new believers. And it's back when you would have to go to Blockbuster to rent a video. Long, long time ago in a far, far away place. Okay, so this is my married friend. I'm not giving names, okay? So they're married. They're only married about 2 years, and they're going to Blockbuster, and they're going through the shelves looking, and the husband says, he sees this one, and he goes, oh, this is a good one. Oh, no, it's not. It's a comedy. I hate comedies. Anybody who likes comedies is stupid. And the wife turns around and gives him that look. Y'all know that look? You don't know that look? You haven't been married long. Okay, so she gives him the look and she says, I like comedies. My mother likes comedies. Woo! So we're stupid? And he goes, oh, no, honey. No, honey, that's not what I meant. Oh, honey, that's not what I meant. I just meant I really like action movies. Okay, later on he did grow to like comedies, but he was a little opinionated. Uh-huh. I can be a little opinionated. Uh-huh. All you that always wanted to say that, you can say it now. Yes, she is. She's opinionated. Anybody else opinionated on some things? I got some opinions, man. Right? Okay. But here's the thing. I want God to come in and change my opinions. Because what I found out, sometimes my opinions are just not that great. Sometimes they're not really right. Sometimes I'm just plain, you know, it's just not good. So the focus is we're going to get to saying, God, change me. All right. So if you're taking notes, because y'all are smarter than a fifth grader, this is the main idea, the big idea I want you to get. And some of you will say, well, Pastor D, I already know that. No, no, no. Say, God, make it even bigger on the inside. Make this so big that it just opens my eyes and just changes me. So here it is. Write this down. Change your thinking and you'll change your life. This is the big idea from the beginning to the end. Change your thinking, baby, and it'll change your life. Change your thinking and it'll change your life. And it's amazing when we start thinking the right way, it'll start changing the way you walk through life. It'll change you so that you'll have freedom. It'll change you so that you've got peace in your life. It'll just change every part of your life. So everybody say, change your thinking, change your life. Tell the person next to you, change your thinking, change your life. Praise God. Now, talk about thinking and needs some changing. But when I grew up, and I can't figure out why, I really don't want to know why, but I kind of was the I can't person. I can't D. I can't. And I don't know if it was because, actually, you know, I'm a twin and I have a brother that's 4 minutes older and he could run faster, jump higher. He just was just like over the top. And so I don't know if that had to do with it. But I was like, I can't. And then, you know, when homework started and my mom would make us all sit down at the dining room table and I'd get to the first hard thing and guess what I would say? I can't. And then sometimes it wasn't pretty, you know. You know, the kid that throws everything and stomps off. Sometimes it just wasn't really pretty. So I kind of carried that I can't attitude in life. And when things got hard, I would just go, I can't. And I would quit. So if you go downstairs in my sewing room, I have a whole bunch of I can't projects. Been there for decades. And I probably should just trash them. But I was just like, I can't. It's too hard. So it's interesting. So that was kind of how I don't know. That's just the way I developed, not because that was the right way. But then I was met Jesus. And real early as a new believer, I was reading my Bible and I found the scripture. Write it down. They're not going to pop this up. Ready? Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I, you should say it with me. It makes you feel so good. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Man, when I found that, it just exploded on the inside. And like two things were going on. Jesus can help me. Jesus can strengthen me. That was the first thing. And then I saw that phrase, all things. And I thought, oh my gosh, Jesus will help me in all things. Jesus will help me in all things. How many of you like that? Jesus, help me. I say Jesus, help me a lot, okay? So you know what I did immediately? I wrote that scripture down. This is before computers, and so I wrote it by hand, put it on the mirror, put it in my car, put it on a file card. Some of you don't even know what a file card is, right? We used to write everything on file cards. Okay, so I put it on a file card and I would just take it out and I'd read it. And I'd read it in the morning and I'd read it wherever I was. I'd read that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, because that just was this massive explosion on the inside. And eventually I memorized it and I'd walk around. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So anytime I had a I can't moment, I would, because I've had that word, that scripture, I stuck it on the inside. So I'd encounter this, I can't, and I would go, it would just go, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All righty? So guess what I did? I changed my thinking, and it changed my life. So everybody say, change your thinking, change your life. Okay, so I want you to stop, and I want to ask you a question. Do you have an area in your life that needs to be changed? One, two, three. You know, I'd raise everything here. Okay. Do you have an area like that you just want a breakthrough in? That's such the Christianese word. I need a breakthrough. No, I need a change. Anybody have some things you need changed in? Well, guess what? It's not going to happen until you change your thinking. It is not going to happen until you change your thinking. So open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Super famous verse. I think we read this like once a month. It's just a great verse. Romans 12, verse 1. And I'm reading out of the, I found, Dear Jack had all sorts of Bibles. And every once in a while, I read something out of my King James or my Amplified. And then I go downstairs and I start pulling all of these translations. So I have a new one for you. It's called the Contemporary English Version. Contemporary. And actually, the pages fell out. So I actually went and bought a new one. So Contemporary English Version. Romans 12:1. Here we go. It says, Dear friends, so guess who he's talking to? Us. If you're a believer, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. So come on, tune in. He's talking to me. So, dear friends, God is good, right? So I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing, that's the most sensible way to serve. Okay, so what he's saying here is, since God is so good to us, anybody agree? Since God is so good to me, the least you can do is present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Or how about this? Live your life God's way. That's all he's saying. Now, it's interesting. If you read Romans chapter 1, all the way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 11, this is the Apostle Paul. And what he's talking about is the whole time, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. God saved me. God saved you. You didn't have to do anything, perform. You didn't have to be good enough. Just God saved you. All he had to do is receive it. Okay, so he's going over all of that. And then he finally comes to the conclusion in chapter 12. And he says, listen, since God is so good to you, the least you can do is lay your life, be a living sacrifice, and serve him. That's all that it's saying here. So now, that's really nice to say, but what does that look like? What does that look like in my life? Ready? Total surrender. By the way, worship team sang my message. I was like, well, just put it on repeat and I'm going home, okay? But listen, what he's saying is the being a living sacrifice is total surrender. Everybody say total surrender. Ooh, total surrender, okay? So I remember I just remember that in my life when I got to this place. I was thinking I did life this way. I was thinking, and then one day I just was like splat on the floor, and God, sort of like what Pastor Sherry was saying, God, I'm going to fall in love with you, and I'm just going to surrender my life. And it changed my thinking, and it changed the way I did life. Now, the interesting thing about this, being this, God, the least I can do is just totally surrender my life to you. Guess what? You have to do this once, twice, three times. How about continually? If you're taking notes, just write that one word, continually. Write that on your board, okay? I have to keep doing it continually, every day, sometimes a whole lot of times during the day, all right? And it's because we have this world that we live in, and it is just pushing you this way and pushing you that way. And I have to continually say, God, you have been so good to me. I love you. Oh, gosh, I love you. But I am going to, or the least I can do, not a but the least I can do is just surrender my life to you, okay? So I come to this place where I go, God, you own me. Tell your neighbor, God owns you. God owns me. God owns me. So I surrender and I say, God, I surrender to you. And I think I know a whole bunch, but God, I just want what you want. I want what you think. I want it your way. Guys, that's total surrender, right? Total surrender. So Pastor Sherry said this. She was like, I could have gone home. She said, they're just preaching my message here. This is the word of God. And this is how 99.9 times God's going to speak to you. Well, God never talks to me. Well, you just ratted on yourself. Yeah. God will speak to you through his word. Every time. I promise you, every time. So he speaks to through our word. And actually, this is a standard. This is the standard. It is a standard, but it is the standard. And it is the standard on how I live my life and how you live your life and how you think. That's the standard. Well, I don't know. That's the standard. Open it up. It'll tell you everything you need to know. It'll tell you exactly. And guess what? When it starts talking to you and it tells you the standard and you say, God, I surrender. I'm going to do it this way. It starts making you free. It just starts making you free. So that's the standard. Now, that standard turned me from I can't D to I can. It turned me. It was, I got in there. I saw that Philippians, I can do all things. And that was like the standard that was God's standards. I saw it and I started lights going off and changing me. So, now it will change your life forever, but it can't until you surrender to God. You have to surrender. And it's when you say, God, whatever you say, I'm doing it. Whatever you say, that's it. Okay? That's how it starts working in your life. All right, let's jump down to verse 2, Romans 12:2. Let's do the next part. Romans 12:2. It says, "Don't be like the people of this world, but let God," doesn't that sound like surrender? Like, you know, I've got to surrender. Okay, "but let God change the way you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him." So today we want to talk about allowing God to change the way we think. Change the way we think. But we have to allow him. You know, he's so sweet. He doesn't beat you up. He doesn't make you. He doesn't lock you in your room until you clean it up. I used to do that. Like, you can't come out of your room until you clean up. He doesn't do that. You have to allow him. Surrender and say, God. Okay, so we're going to talk about how to change our thinking, all righty? I want to read that Romans 12:2 out of the NIV now. It says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Those books that I pulled out, that's all they were. That's all they were. They're talking about that, okay? Now, did you notice the word the world? The world? Anybody? Yep. Did you know that the world is just trying to just push you one way and push you another way, right? And now, It's not always necessary bad, okay? The world isn't always bad. There's some good things. But let me tell you, the world and the way it thinks and the culture, what it's doing, it's also not always true. It's not always the Bible way. Anybody find that out? Woo, I did. All righty. So it's not always that. But here's what it's saying. If you renew your mind, get in here. If you renew your mind, it will transform the way your life looks, the way your life goes, and how you enjoy it. All righty. So that word transform, anybody see that word transform? Look at that. Write that down. In the Greek, it's metamorphos. And I'm probably saying it not the right way, but that's where we get our English word metamorphosis, okay? Anyway, tadpoles to what? Frogs, metamorphosis. Caterpillars to what? Metamorphosis, okay? Now, I'm really not big on creepy little caterpillars. They got all these legs, and sometimes they look a little slimy, but I don't touch them. Okay. Now, the thing about these creepy little caterpillars is they'll climb up a tree, they'll get on a branch, and they make this cocoon, right? They spin this cocoon, and they're in there, and they're in there for a season. And while they're in there, guess what happens? Transformed, right? Transformation happens in there. And then eventually they pop out, and they're a butterfly. I like butterflies. They can be moths, but butterflies, like a monarch butterfly, beautiful colors, no creepy legs all over the place, probably only two, but I know they don't call them legs. What do they call them? Bug people. There's this, huh? Yeah, yes. Okay, there we go. Good. So they're just beautiful. And this is what God's saying about us. Hey, if you want transformation, you're going to renew your mind. You're going to get in the Word of God. And it'll change the way you think. And it'll change the way your life goes. It'll just change you. Everybody say change. Change. Change is good, all right? So change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. So I want to help understand this process. It's not really hard, but sometimes you just got to have your head in the right game and get comprehended. So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is number one. Before you write it down, first off, you all know that world has got some thinking that is not God thinking, and it will try to change you. So that's why we want to find out what God says. So number one, here we go. Our belief system has been corrupted from birth. What? Pastor Day, what are you talking about? No, just write it down. Our belief system has been corrupted from birth. Now, it's not necessarily all bad. There's some good things that I got as I grew up, all right? But there's a lot that's not true, that's not the Bible, and we need to come to a place where we change the way we think, all right? So let me tell you how it happens. It happens really innocently, and it happens by very nice people, okay? So I'm born, and then I get to my parents, boom. Okay, now I had good parents, I really did. They did not know Jesus until right before their death, okay? But they were moral people. My dad had a moral standard that some Christians ought to be following, all right? He was a moral man. He had work ethics like just top notch, okay? So those are the things that he poured into us kids. Those are the things he put inside. So he would put, there's this, here we go. He would put some good things into us. My dad and my mom, just they would put some things into us. And then, wrong color. Let's do yellow. Yellow's the good, all right? Yellow's the good. And then, but you know, it's sort of interesting. They didn't always teach us the greatest of things, okay? And it's just because they didn't know any better. They were just kind of clueless. And actually, they were just doing the same thing their parents did, all right? And some of those things that they put into our belief system, not always so good. And I'll talk a little bit later about that. So I kind of got the good and the bad going on here, okay? And actually, you know, I think back, some of the things that weren't so good, they were really not Bible, not biblical at all. But, you know, they had some good things that they poured into us, and they did the best they can. Listen, my parents did the best they can. Six kids in the 70s? Whew! Okay, they did the best they can. Okay, so the next thing that comes into our life are teachers. All right, teachers. Yay, shout it out to the teachers, because I used to be one. All right, okay. I had some amazing teachers. I really did. And they put some good change in my life. They caused me to walk in a direction. A couple of them, they should have just quit. But for the most part, I had great teachers. I did. And they would put some good things into me. And they taught me math and science and history. And I love history. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what else they did? They put thoughts in me and their philosophies in me that weren't always so good. Okay? And listen, they weren't purposely, at least mine weren't, they weren't purposely trying to put negative things in there and just goofy thoughts and stuff. But that's just what they did. Okay? They didn't try to, but they did. So I had some not so good belief systems going in here. Not so good here. And then the other one is the media. Listen, from the time you start watching cartoons, all right? So some of those, you know, like Sesame Street, we'll give you two. I'll give you three. I'll give you four. Okay? Those are some good things. But listen, you know what that media is doing? Y'all know. It's teaching you things. It's training you in things. It's putting a belief system in you that is not always so good, right? One grandma back there could tell you, go Pat, okay? Okay, I'm going to put this down here. You get it. So, I have a belief system. I got some good and I got some bad in there. I got some okay stuff, but you know, those other things, they are in my belief system. They are up in there, all righty? And then I come to know Jesus. Yay! And the problem is, I may know Jesus, but I got a lot of red apples in here, okay? A lot of my beliefs are not the Bible. But the inside of me was changed. The life of God came inside of me. Jesus, a new life made me a new creature. That's in there. But I got some belief systems that aren't so good. Anybody know? Y'all following me? Say, yeah, Pastor D, I know what belief system you're talking about, okay? Now, they were not bad people that were throwing red apples in there. They were not trying purposely to do it. But that's just, you know, the things that happen. And you have to come to a place where we got to make some change. We got to get rid of those apples there. We have to make changes, all righty? So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Remember, our belief system has been corrupted for birth. You just saw it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Ready. If our gospel is hidden, that's the message about Jesus. That's the gospel. The gospel's so simple. It's who God is, and he sent his son Jesus. That's the gospel message, okay? Okay, but if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. Who's the lost? Someone who hasn't accepted Jesus. That's real simple, okay? All right, now, why is it hidden? Let's read verse 4. The God of this world, you have an enemy, the God of this world, Satan. And you know what he's doing? He's influencing our belief system, the red apples. He's influencing it, all right? He's influencing our, and all the places that I mentioned, okay? So the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So here's what it's saying. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And listen, he's got you believing things. It just happens in life. He's got you believing things till the point that somebody comes up and tells you how much God loves you and the great plan and wonderful life he's got for you. And you're like, just get out of here, buddy. I can't stand that. Just get away from me. Okay. Anybody ever do that? I did that for quite a while when people would come up, all right? And I'll tell you more about it later. So Satan, that's what he likes to do. And did you notice it says he blinds their minds? He blinds their minds, okay? The minds is talking about our belief system, okay? He blinds them. It's like they're just not working right. And he blinds them and he darkens them so that you cannot see the glorious good news. That's all it's saying here. So That's what happens. Now, that's what happens when people are, you know, you'll come up and you'll tell them about Jesus. You'll be so kind to them. And they're like, I don't want anything to do that. That's what happens with people that are just rejecting Jesus. But you know what, guys? It also happens to us in a whole bunch of areas, even after we know Jesus. Because Satan is just trying, because my belief system's a little like little mixed up in there. He tries to blind you so you can't see all the greatness, all the ways God wants you to walk, and all the plans. So praise the Lord. No, that's not praise the Lord. So let me tell you another story here about belief system here. When I was younger, I was probably my first year home from college. I was home in the summertime, and the doorbell rang, and my mom answered it. I guess my dad was working. He worked in Manhattan. My mom was a stay-home mom. You better be a stay-home mom with six kids, because, you know, all hell will break loose if you leave them alone. It was just crazy things we used to do. So she answers the door, and I hear this conversation, and my mom's getting a little not-so-sweet-so. Of course, you know, she's living in Jersey, so you know what it sounded like. So then she closes the door on these two people. They were not Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way, okay? These people are talking to her about Jesus loves you, lady, and she just was getting a little irritated, and she closed the door, and she comes in. She goes, oh, D, those were Jesus freaks. This is the 70s, okay? And she goes, oh, you better watch out. Don't listen to those Jesus freaks. They'll try to get you out of your good church. If you knew the church I was raised in, it probably would have been an improvement. Okay. Now, you know, don't listen to those Jesus freaks. They're bad. Guess what just happened? She threw something into my belief system. All right. Jesus people. Jesus freaks. Okay. So now I'm like a junior in college, and I'm an L-Edg major, and it was kind of a small group. I went over to your college when it's not as big as it was, and so we kind of had this group. There was probably only about 60 of us or less that were in the L-Edg majors. So you had classes with the same group all the time. And there were these two girls, Liz and Patty, and they would talk to me after every class, before every class, and they go, D, Jesus loves you. Dee, and they tell me all about Jesus, and yet could not get away from them, because, you know, it's a small group, and we'd be waiting in between classes, Dee, and, you know, I was really polite back then, and I just kind of took it, but I really wanted to say, especially when I was dealing with Patty, I was like, what are you on? You must be smoking something, girl. You are just, you know, they're so happy, and stuff like that. You know why? Because I had some belief systems about those Jesus freaks, and they were Jesus freaks. But you know what those Jesus freaks did? They worked me over. And in a couple of months, ta-da-da, I became one of them. I asked Jesus to come into my life. All right? So they worked over my belief system, and I was just like, I surrender. So that's what happened in my life. But it was real interesting, though. So I received Jesus, but you probably couldn't have told, because I was still doing my belief system stuff. Okay, from the 70s. Just let your mind go there, okay? You couldn't tell, because you know what? I didn't have a Bible. Now, I did go to church, but can I tell you folks, keep coming to church. But just church once a week, if that's all you're doing, it doesn't really change you a lot. It didn't really change me at all, to be honest with you. But then I got a Bible, and oh man, I got a living Bible. And they had those little people, they little stick figures in it. It was just beautiful. And I would read it a couple times a day. And gosh, it started transforming me. Anybody ever get the Bible to transform you? Start reading it? Man, I was like starved. I was starved, and you know, just, God, I love it. But the crazy thing is, even after I accepted Jesus, I kind of had this broken belief system, and it needed a whole lot of the Bible, the Word inside of me before you'd even notice she's a Jesus freak. I was just a freak back then, okay? So that's what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about God coming in and changing the way we think. God coming in and changing the way they think, okay? So here's your second one. Write this down. Our belief system, okay, must be challenged and changed continually. I love when little kids, Pastor D, I've read my Bible once. I just love it when they say that. I'm like, no, 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 continually. Okay, so you have a belief system, but it has to be challenged because, you know, I got rid of a couple of these, but I still had a whole bunch of them. So your belief system has to be challenged and continually worked on, all right? Now, here's what I noticed. Even after I accepted Jesus, I got some good thinking going on because I started reading my Bible. I had some good thinking. I had some more lemons than these guys, you know, okay? But the thing is, if you don't continually do something with this, not like my little kids, Pastor D, I read it once. Like, no, continually. If you don't continually do this, you'll start drifting. Uh-huh. You don't know you're drifting until you're a mile down the road, okay? Okay, you'll start to drift, okay? Because life just starts beating you up, and all of a sudden you're like, shh, down there, okay? And sometimes we start believing right things, but then we don't continue. And you start getting a little off down here. Okay, back in the 70s. So I've started reading my Bible. I was really in love with my Bible. Just would read it and stuff like that. But I would believe, I'm a new creature. I'm set free. This is awesome. And we ran into some teaching, okay? And it was a little extreme. Some of you will go, yeah, been there, done that. But it was all about casting out devils, okay? And listen, we have authority to cast out devils. But this teaching was, if you had, do you remember this, a frog or owls in your house, you got to get rid of it because, you know, it could wake you up in the night and bite you. Okay. It could influence you. All right. So I was like, oh, I'm looking through the house. Oh my gosh, I got to get rid of anything that looks like an owl or a frog. Okay. Some of you are saying, don't come to my house. Okay. So we were throwing everything out and I was just kidding. And then it came down to this one thing. And you know what it was? It was just a goofy little teaching, and I started getting drifting. But then, you know, the stubborn me is, I had gotten as a wedding present this black lacquer tray, and inlaid in it is this owl. So I hid that thing for years. Everything else we were throwing out. Okay, why did I tell you that story? Because, you know, we started out really good. Started out learning that I had authority, that I am, that it's not my power, it's not my authority, but me using the authority of the name of Jesus and stuff. And then we just kind of got a little goofy there. So now, come to my house, ask me for the tray. I serve cheese and crackers on that tray. I do. I like it. Okay. Let's go back to, I don't even know what scripture am I on. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you have to continually be challenged in your belief system. You have to continue. And the way we do that, you guys, is the Bible, and this is your standard. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I should do that. Read this. It'll tell you. Read this. Or they have some thinking, you know, oh, you know, Pastor D, I was thinking I should do this. I'm like, you didn't read this. That tells you right in here, you know? So this is our standard, all right? Let's read 2 Corinthians 3. I'm going to turn my pages here. Can I do 2 Corinthians 3? No, 2 Corinthians 10, 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Turn the page, Pastor D. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Remember, our belief system must be continually challenged and changed. Continually. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. All right. I'm going to challenge some of you, so get ready, because we're going to make some changes. Here we go. Now, this is a pretty famous verse. You probably even know this. Here it goes. Although we live in this world, we don't fight our battles with human methods, okay? This is the common English one. Although we live in this world, we don't fight our battles, okay? Now, let me tell you what this does not say. This is not saying that Christians can't go to war and fight in an army. It's not saying that, okay? It's not saying that Christians, you can't have any guns, you can't have any knives. It's not saying that. Let me tell you what it's saying. It says this: you can have all the knives you want and guns and everything you want, but that's not going to fight the battle that we're in. All right? Somebody came up and they were telling me about all sorts of hell breaking loose at their family, and they were riled up. By the way, I do that sometimes too. And I said, hey, wait a minute. That's not really who you're fighting with, right? The battle is not there. It's not with the flesh and blood, okay? So, and listen, guys, we're in a battle. Shoot. Some of you, if you made it through Thanksgiving, I had this lady call me up yesterday. She goes, "Oh my gosh, Pastor D, Thanksgiving was a battle." I was like, "Wow, high five." Yes, it was. Okay. We're in battles sometimes, right? And the battle you are not going to win with your knives and your weapons. Your battle you're going to win with the word of God. That is your weapon. Amen. Okay. And listen, I can't win the battle of I can'ts with just normal world stuff. You cannot win your battles with just everyday normal stuff. You're going to win your battles by what the word of God says. So let's jump down to verse 4. Okay. Our weapons, right, ta-da, that we fight with aren't human, right? The word of God is so great. Okay, so our weapons that we fight with aren't human, but instead they are powered by God for the destruction of fortresses. All right, so this weapon you have, I said it again, I know I'm going to say it again, the word of God is the power, the weapon that you had, and it will work, it'll blow up things. And your Thanksgiving will be so sweet. Amen. Okay. And what happens when you've got this word of God and the Holy Spirit gets involved with the word as you read it, and all of things just get changed so sweet. Amen. People are fun. Okay. Families are fun. How about interesting? You know where I'm going? Families are interesting. A lot of dynamics. And I was kind of dreading some things that were going on, and the Lord just shut me up. And he says, "Well, you're going to complain about it, or you're going to get my word and pray about it?" So for 2 weeks, I was just praying about all the usual, the battles that go on, all the usual ones. And I went to bed that night after Thanksgiving. I thought, that was surprisingly wonderful. Now, I shouldn't have said surprisingly, but it was just wonderful. I had the best Thanksgiving that we've had in like a long, long time. And it was just me changing my thinking, getting the word out, just speaking it over my life. Really, half of it was over me and my attitude and the people too. And it was just sweet. Anybody have a sweet Thanksgiving? I was talking, yeah, it was so good. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do Christmas, but it was sweet, okay? So it says our weapons are powered by God. That word power is dunamis, and that's where we get our English word dynamite. And you know, dunamis means to have explosive, creative power of God. The word of God is explosive, and it's a creative power. So you think you should be reading it and speaking it? Yeah, this word is explosive, and it's a creative power. It is incredible. It's amazing. Everybody say, "My Bible's amazing." Oh, man. Okay. So if we can get that inside of us, it will blow up the fortresses. What are fortresses? Joyce Myers would say it's a stronghold, but I'm just going to say a fortress is a stinking thinking. A fortress is some negative thinking. A fortress is my bad belief system thinking, okay? And if you get that word in there, it's explosive. It'll blow it up and blow it out to where I go, "Man, that was the sweetest Thanksgiving we've ever had. It was just great. Praise God." And I ate all the pies the last 2 days, so I'm all done. Now I'm back on my diet. I just ate all the left. I might as well just eat them up in 2 days and be done with it. Yep. Okay. Let's read the rest of verse 4. The rest of verse 4 and then verse 5. It says, they destroy arguments. The word of God will destroy arguments. Now, sometimes it's like an argument in your house, but arguments, okay? The word of God will destroy arguments and every defense that is raised up to oppose the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The Bible. The Bible, the word of God, the truth, okay? It will destroy all that. So, as you're reading, as you're spending time, just time out, be still. We sang a song, "Be Still." I'm just timing out with the Lord, and I'm reading this. It will blow up my belief system till, you know, it's just so sweet. It's so good, so sweet. All right, so they will blow up arguments and every defense that is raised up to oppose the knowledge of God, and they capture every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here's what God's saying. Number one, you have to surrender to him. Surrender to this. Surrender to the Bible. Surrender to the Word. And number two, you have to capture those thoughts. You have to capture them. And you have to throw them out, okay? So capture is the thought. The thought is not a fleeting thing. The thought is your belief system. You have to capture that belief system. And the word capture in the Greek is talking about a Roman soldier that's got the enemy, and he's got his sword, and he's sticking him in the back, and he's marching him. He's marching. He keeps poking him with his sword, and he marches him into jail, and he shuts the door, and he's captured him, and he locks the door, and he walks out. That's what you do with the Word of God and your belief system. Praise God. All right, so what you have to say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your Word with an open heart. I'm going to open my heart, and I'm going to go, God, you know, I think I have to look at what I believe. And God, you know what? There's some things I believe that aren't what the Bible teaches. Surprise, surprise, a girl from the 70s. And God, there's some things that I believe that Jesus didn't teach. Surprise, surprise, this is a girl from the 70s, okay? And then what I have to say, God, I'm going to allow you to teach me what you say, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to treasure it, and I'm just going to follow it, okay? That's how you transform, renew your mind. So, as I said, I grew up, I was born in 54, and then I was in junior high in the late 60s, and then I graduated high school in 72, and I graduated college in 76. I am a child of the 70s, baby, let me tell you. I am a child of the 70s, and I remember Woodstock, I remember peace, I remember free love, and all sorts of things, and you can smoke it and roll it and whatever, okay? That was my belief system. Okay, now my parents did put some good things, but let me tell you, growing up in the 70s, whew, just, it was delightful, okay? And then I told you I had this encounter with Jesus in the fall of 1970. Thank you for the two Jesus freaks that just pounded me. They were relentless. Okay, finally I just said, oh, there's light. I got light on here, okay? Thank you, okay? And then, as again I said, you wouldn't have seen a lot of change because I was doing what everybody else was doing on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday I would study, okay? So I was doing that, but then I got a Bible. Okay, got a Bible, praise God. That's what I asked for Christmas. My mom thought I was nuts. She, what do you want for Christmas? I want a Bible. What do you want for, I want a Bible. So she finally got me my Bible, okay? And I started reading and I was starved, okay? But as I'm reading it, and listen, there are times I just read one verse. Come on, I think I'm my senior in college and I'm doing my student teaching and life is just fast and full. But I would just read it whenever I could. I just would read it. And then I would say, you know what, God? I'm reading this, and I'm a child of the 70s, but I'm reading this, and God, you are so good. How could I not surrender? And God, I'm reading this. And I'm doing this, this, and this, and you telling me that I should be living this way, and this way, and this way. So, God, I'm going to surrender and do this, this, and this. I'm going to just lay my life to you. And by the way, it's still a process. Hang out with me. You go, yeah, she's still in the process. Y'all in the process? Yes, you are. You are in the process. Okay. So now I've got a new belief system. Let's get rid of the apples. Okay, I've got a new belief system, right? And then I'm reading the Word, and it's just transforming the way I live my life, the way I talk, the way my attitudes. It's getting better and better. And then some of those old crazy 70s thoughts come up, and I'm like, no way! Get out of here, crazy thoughts, because I have this in me. And it gets easier and easier, and I got freer and freer, all right? And some of those crazy 70 things, they're just like, what? You know, I never even blink on them anymore, okay? But it was a process. It was a process, okay? And what I found out, I remember this one, okay? So I got newly born again. I finally got a Bible. I'm reading this, and I'm going to a small group. Oh, my gosh, it was great. It was actually run by an ex-Catholic priest. I think he was the Catholic priest then, and they got kicked out. And this other Pentecostal and this lady and a bunch of college kids. And they come to me and they go, D, you got to swap out those friends. What? Swap out your friends that are doing blankety blankety blank. Yeah, D, you need to swap out those friends. I can't, you know. And I dug my heels, and then I said, okay, God, I surrender. But. So I did that a couple times, the but. And my but was, but God, I'll have no friends. I will have no friends. So, but then I said, okay, God, I surrender. And then I dug in the word. Of course, they shot me the word. They told me this, you know, bad friends corrupt you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, babe. I could just walk on a college campus, man. So I said, okay, God, I surrender. And as soon as I said that, people came into my life. Sweet Christian friends. I know where they are today, some of them. We just, you know, still keep in touch. It was sweet, okay? But I got to the surrender part, and it would just set me free. Let me tell you, it set me free. Anybody been set free from the old, oh, man, it's just so good. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't look at your watch. Here we go. Number three. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Bible here. Write this down. The Bible is the weapon that challenges our belief system. And I've been saying it, okay? Now, if you live in this culture, it will tell you to do blankety blank and think blankety blank, right? It just does it. We got a culture out there. And then you read your Bible and you go, I don't know, should I do this or that? Because I've been so programmed, my belief system. So, and then I'm reading my Bible and I'm like, the world's telling me this, and I read my Bible, what should I do? Well, turn to 2 Timothy. It'll tell you what to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Here we go. All scripture is God-breathed. Just picture your Bible. You got to do this sometimes, because some of you are just like, you don't even know where your Bible is. The dog chewed it up. I love kids who tell me that. So just picture your Bible is the word of God. That if there's this, the Greek actually says, God breathed. Isn't that beautiful? God breathed those scriptures. Okay. All right. Got excited. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's us, may be able to thoroughly be equipped for every good work. I want to read this out of the New Living because it's even better. All scripture is inspired or God breathed. It is useful to teach us what is true. So whenever you, Pastor D, I don't know what to do. I just would love to say, just read your Bible. Okay. Right? But I'll say it's sweet. I'll help you. All right? So it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize our belief system, doing, realize what is wrong in our life, and it corrects us. By the way, the Bible corrects us. Your main purpose in life is not to correct your spouse, okay? Okay, the Bible does this, all right? So it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. All right. It corrects us to do, ooh, gosh, I love it. Okay, so growing up in the 70s, let me tell you, I had some correcting that needed to go on. But I would read my Bible and all of a sudden lights would go off and I would go, Oh, really? You can't shack up? Wow, look at that. It would correct me. It would correct me. And then it would teach me things like I can do, okay? So this God-breathed and spirit-inspired word of God will do all of that for you. But you got to get it open, right? You got to get it open. You got to get it reading into it, okay? And it'll just make your life just so sweet. And you have to remember, this is God-breathed. This is God, and it's explosive, and it will change my life so that I have freedom. And, you know, I need to be free. Some of you all need to be free, okay? So you got to get in the Word of God. Let me talk about some goofy thinking. When I was growing up, I was one of six kids. My dad was the only one who worked. He worked in Manhattan. He would get home and it was dark. Okay, he worked long hours, and my mom was a stay-home mom. And you know, I didn't really recognize this till I got to be about middle school. Back then, I think we just called it junior high. And I'd say, "Hey, mom, you know, my sneakers don't fit, and I need this and I need that." And she goes, "Oh, we can't. You can't. We don't have enough money." I would hear that a lot. And somehow, you know, my parents, I always had food on the table. I always had clean clothes. But, you know, a lot of that stuff, I was like, what do you mean? I can't. And I had this attitude, and I actually brought that attitude, you can't afford it, into when I was on my own. I was like, I can't afford it. You can't have it. And I brought it into our marriage. And my husband was the extreme opposite. Let's just buy it. Okay, and I'm like, we can't. And we had a lot of war. A lot of wars because of that. Okay, but really I had some belief systems that were not so great. Everything is, yeah, I can't. And then I was a new believer and I ran into Philippians. Ready? Ooh, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God. So you know what that told me? My God's my support, source, and he's going to supply all my needs. And that was hard. Let me, I think I worked on that for like 10 years because I would go, Jack, we can't afford that. And he's like, baby, let's just buy it, okay? So we worked out a balance, but it started with me and my attitude. And when I found this scripture, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, okay? So who supplies it? God. Not my paycheck, not my job. God's my source. Okay, God's my source. All right, and when I saw that, well, it took 10 years to really get it. We had some whopping arguments going on. But when I started just to really get that in me, God, you're my source. You provide all the things that I need. Man, I began to smile. It was just life-changing, okay? And then you know what I did? Got my piece of paper out because this is before computers, and I wrote that down. And that was another post-it note. It was on my mirror. It was on my car. It was everywhere I went. It was on a file card, okay? And I would take that out. And when something would come up, like, oh my gosh, we got to send this kid and get braces. Oh my gosh, the second kid with braces. Oh my gosh, the third kid with braces, okay? And I would go, oh, we can't afford that. And I go, nope. My God is my source, and he provides braces for my kids. And he did. And it was just phenomenal, okay? And that, so when that fear would come up, I would say, nope, I'm going to cast you down. I'm going to smash you. You are kicked out. And I would say that, and I was like, okay. And I got free. And a couple weeks ago, we were having some meeting and things, you know, this out there, you know, and I was like, and I was like, this fear started coming again about, oh my gosh, oh my, and I said, wait a minute, my God supplies all the needs we have here. He's my provider. He's my source. By the way, you still need to work a job. Just don't just lay home and go, God, okay, you have a part to play. Yay, I do work, and then God's my source. Amen. Okay, so when we read our Bible and we find these scriptures and you get them in here, it'll just set you free. You'll just be those Jesus freaks. Just so, gosh, beautiful, okay? Amen. Last one here. The Bible, here's the last one, number four. The Bible is God speaking to man, but write it this way. The Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible, and listen, if you don't get that, really that should have been my first one. But that is just foundational. God, this word is speaking to me. God, this word is speaking to me. Okay, and remember, this is the standard, and the world doesn't have this standard, and it is bad. They're doing bad. They're just off the chart, okay? If you don't have this as your standard, and you believe it speaks to you, it's just goofy. It's just really goofy. Okay, so one more scripture. Second Peter 1:20. I'm telling you, you start believing this is God speaking to me, it'll set you free. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put your head back. It is just incredible. Okay, y'all, it's Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. This is Peter, the apostle, and he makes this statement. He said, the word of God is better. Everybody say that. The word of God is better. Now listen what he says next. He says, the word of God is better than seeing the glory cloud. Okay, let me back up. Peter, Jesus hung on the cross, died, was buried for 3 days, and he rose again, and then he's walking on earth for like, what's Pentecost? Is that 30 days or 40 days or 60 days? I should know that. Okay, so he's walking around the planet, and then he's taken up to heaven in a glory cloud, and a voice comes out, and Peter makes this crazy statement, the word of God is better than the glory cloud and a voice coming out of heaven. Pastor Sherry touched on that. The word of God is better. Guys, this is better. Okay, so now I'm going to read. 1 Peter 2 Peter 2:20. For no prophecy recorded in the scriptures, that's in the Bible, all right? No prophecy that's recorded in the Bible. And a prophecy could be, thus saith the Lord, and he's going to tell you the future. Or prophecy, listen, all scripture actually is a prophecy because it's God breathed. Some of you are like, what did she say? Write this down. All scripture is actually a prophecy because it's God breathed, God spoken. Ah! So I prophesy. Just read the Bible. Just read the Bible and you'll prophesy. Okay. Hang in there, Pastor D. Let's finish this. Okay. Next part. I lost my place. Okay. For no prophecy recorded in scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. They didn't cook this up in their brains. They didn't cook it up, okay? It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them the message, praise God from God. All right, so I want you to think about what Peter said. I want you to think about what Paul said. I want you to think about all the scriptures we read in Corinthians. Guess what? They were God-breathed. God spoke them. And they just got to write them. It's like being, a stenographer? Do they even have those things anymore? No, we just talked everything, okay? All right, so how many of you remember John Olstein? That's Joel's daddy. John Olstein would make you get your Bible. I'm going to write this. And he make you say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am, and I can do what it says I do. And I have what I, okay. How many of you start going, God, this is you talking to me. And it tells me everything that I am and that I'm going to do. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Okay. It's the most amazing thing. I hope I made you hungry, hungry, hungry. Because this is the most, so, okay. Don't ever say, I don't like to read. It's like the F-bomb in my face. Because you just said, I don't love this word. Don't ever say that, okay? I love to read my Bible. Matter of fact, I grew up in a denomination where they'd kiss it, okay? And then they do the whatever, right? Okay, but you should kiss your Bible and say, God, thank you for talking to me. Thank you for having everything I need, all the answers, and tells me the directions and cleans out my crappy attitude and makes me be a child of freakish God, Jesus, okay? All right, so anyway, how do I do this in my life? I read my Bible every day. Probably the only 2 days I don't read my Bible per se is Sunday morning because I'm just getting ready. You know, I'm reading over my notes and scriptures. So I do. But I read my Bible every day, every day. And then I do the soap thing. I find a scripture. I get my orange journal. Every year I get a new color. I have this orange notebook, if you want to call it a journal, an orange notebook. And I read. And when a scripture jumps out, brings life, where a fortress is smashed and the captives are set free. Okay, I write down that scripture. Okay, that's the S for soap, S. O is what did I observe? What caught my attention? And I write down what that starts talking to me. And then the A, S-O-A, A is how do I apply that in my life? How do I act on it? S-O-A-P, and P is for prayer. And then I just pray it. God, whoa, God, you just brought light into my attitude. Yep. Woo! Okay, I thank you, Lord, that that's who I am, and I just pray it off, okay? So every day I read my Bible, and then the other thing that I do is I'll listen to it, okay? Now, I grew up, we'd pop a tape in. Then I grew up, and then we put a CD in, and now we just press all these buttons. And I don't know what an MCP and a whatever, and my kids just, I just memorize it and press it, okay? But I will listen to the word. I'll listen to it while I'm cooking. I listen to it when I put my makeup on, okay? I listen to it all the time. It's going on, and I sometimes listen to it in the car, but mostly I listen to teaching. But I am listening to the word. I'm listening to the word. And sometimes that word, I'm like, whoa, did you hear? And I stop it. And I go, wow, that was amazing. And I'll write down where it is, and then I'll go look it up, okay? So, how do you renew your mind? What is the process? It's the word, guys. Okay, all I can encourage you, you don't have to get into read a chapter a day. If you want to, read 5 chapters, but get the word inside of you, it will change your life. So let's pray. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, okay? Okay.